The ready-made frames was a big division for you.
What happened in our 1,000-square-foot store is Denton's sold out to an individual, and he didn't want to do ready-made frames. He wanted to just do the custom frames, the moldings and things of this nature. So he sold us an entire 40-foot trailer load of frames for $2,000. And so we took the trailer and we parked it up on the lawn of the old house. And we didn't have any money, so in the ads it'd just be a real old small, maybe two little lines in the classifieds that says we're going to have a yard sale at the 23rd Street store. We would pull some of these out on the lawn, and people would get up into the truck, and we would sell these ready-made frames. Then they sold us the second one for $4,000 because they saw that we did real well. And then the third one they sold for $8,000 to us. And then that was all they had. And so that is when we had to go to a trade show. Ready-made frames we saw had a huge potential. So we went to a trade show and we found a vendor that would sell us ready-made frames, certainly not at the price that we bought all these closeout frames from the Denton Company.
Little secret here, the Barnwood line of frames was big then, probably still is. Does that material actually come from barns?
Actually, it comes from picket fences. Even today, we make literally thousands of those every week, and we take picket fence. People that are putting the new fences up, the fence companies, they've got to pay to haul it off. They've got to pay to put it in the dump. So we get that, and we have Moleys and various machines that will make these into ready-made frames, and it's still one of our better sellers today.
Here's something that you tried and you decided to get out of the business, and that was the radio-controlled airplanes.
When we were on 10th Street, which of course is the second store, the 6,000-square-foot store, we put the radio control in, and we decided early on that that was not for us. We had gotten broken into several times, and it was always related to those radio control. No one wants to come in and steal your silk flowers or a lot of the things that we have, but the radio control was something that we had problems with, as well as when someone have a plane to crash, you know, it was always the plane's fault. And so what do? You either give them their money back or tell them they're not telling the truth. So we decided early on that that was not a business we wanted to get into.
In the 70s and 80s, things were progressing nicely. Oil industry in our state was booming. This was reflected, I suppose, in your merchandise and your profit and all that. But then along came 1985. It was a bust in our state, and you lost a ton of money. Talk to us about your thoughts about that.
Actually, in 1985, we lost $1 million. It was very, very difficult. We got a letter from the bank threatening to foreclose on us to get their money back. We had built the business pretty much in the late 70s and early 80s based kind of on a false sense of security, and that was the oil boom, and we were selling expensive gifts, luggage, because people were traveling. We had a lot of product in our stores, expensive art, that was correct for that time, but it wasn't right for the bust times. So we had to get back to basics, get back to the arts and craft business. That's what we had to do. We had to, month by month, I got on my desk and prayed just about every single day, saying, God, what have we done wrong? What would you have us do different? And I think pride was part of what he wanted us to learn, because we had been so successful that I think we got very prideful. It was sort of like God was saying to me, well, let me see what you can do by yourself. And so we had it by ourselves for what was about a year, or I felt like that. And then month in, month out would come, and we would see the thing turning around. In fact, we ended up 2 years later having the very best year in our history after we had the very worst. And so we just got back on track, and we've really tried to depend on the Lord for his guidance ever since.
Tell a little bit about when you owed $1 million and the bank threatening to foreclose. And the sleepless nights you must have gone through, and you went to the bank and you asked for some relief.
The banks was just pretty tough on us at first. A lot of the banks, they had problems as well. A lot of the banks went out of business, and sometimes they gave the persons that was most able to pay the hardest time because they needed the money. We weren't able to, but they knew that in time we probably could pay them back. They were very difficult on us. We asked for time. And they didn't foreclose on us, but like I said, it took a year or two, and then we found a different bank that loaned us the money.
About 87 then, mm-hmm. I guess you did come back. But mm-hmm. you've had some challenges too. In 1984, you had a flood in your Tulsa store.
Yes, in 1984, even before the crash of the oil, we had a flood in Tulsa's store, and it pretty much ruined an awful lot of product there. The merchandise was in the floor. The parking lot was torn up, and we owned that particular shopping center. It was very devastating. So one of the things we did is we just wrote to all of our vendors and asked them if they would give us a 10% credit based on what we owed them, whatever our accounts payable was. That was very successful. We had a lot of our vendors that came to our rescue, and they would discount what we owed them by 10%. That was in 84. Even today, we've got the plaque up on our wall of all the different vendors that helped us out during that time.